Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
There's heroin, there's nicotine, and there's sugar. They're all ferociously addictive. But perhaps the most widespread of the three is sugar addiction, which makes a new study out today so significant. MIT researchers say they've discovered a brain circuit that appears to control sugar addiction and compulsive overeating in mice. Their results are published in the journal Cell, and here to talk about it is co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog, Carrie Goldberg. Hi, Carrie.
Hey, Anthony.
So this sounds really interesting and really important. What does this study tell us?
It is. Well, it casts some light on what might happen in our brain when we're overtaken by sugar cravings. So to explain it, this was in mice, as you said, but may I use you as an example?
Okay. Go ahead. I'm happy to be the lab rat.
Great. So let's say that you're in a fast food restaurant and you're going to order a hamburger and a sweet milkshake. Okay.
Right.
But to get up to the counter, you have to cross a floor that's going to shock you in the foot with an electric shock. Okay. So if the scientists who did this study activate this circuit that they discovered in your brain, and again, the work was in mice, it wasn't in humans, so we're just playing here, but nonetheless, say they activate this circuit, that will make you more willing to take a big foot shock in order to get to your milkshake that you really want.
Okay?
But if they inactivate the circuit, then you become less willing to take the pain to get the sweetness.
I see. Mm-hmm. All right. So tell us more about this, because we all know from this experience that it's easy to binge on sugary foods, even to eat that big dessert after we're feeling kind of full from the main meal.
Right. We all know it's true. And the question is why? Why would we be this way when it's so clearly to our detriment? And what the MIT researchers say is that it seems to be that we just evolved this way. Senior author of this study, Kay Tai of MIT, told us that it actually used to make sense for us to eat lots of sweet stuff.
The main thing is that over evolution, high sugar foods, high energy, calorically dense foods are usually quite scarce. And so it makes sense that you would binge and overeat when those valuable foods are available for a transient period of time. Nowadays, things are available all the time. And so everywhere you look, there's sugary foods. In fact, it's hard to buy foods at the grocery store that don't have any sugar in them.
So there's this mismatch between the environment that we evolved for and the environment that we live in now. And, you know, just speaking for myself, I definitely feel these sugar cravings, specifically sugar or sweet stuff at certain points in the day.
Yeah, I think that's something that a lot of us feel. But Carrie, why is it so difficult to inhibit that part of the brain that drives us to crave sugar?
Well, first of all, you have to identify it. What exactly is it? But then also, so when you try to inhibit it, you have to be very careful not to inhibit the eating that you need to do in order to fuel your body. So again, here's the senior author of the study, Kay Tai at MIT.
And I think that's really important and really exciting because it suggests that we could potentially target only the pathological component of eating behavior, but leave what is now considered in our environment to be healthy eating, we can leave that intact.
Interesting.
Yes, so that is the hope. And it's also just really fascinating that they could actually identify these sets of neurons that talk to each other and that seem to create this effect of making us desire these sweet substances.
So, Carrie, will this discovery actually help people to stop overeating and to actually overcome sugar addiction?
Well, wouldn't that be nice? But of course, we need all the caveats that this is only mice, that if it's used, it will be many years away because all this stuff is very tricky. But it does seem like when you identify this kind of neural circuitry, it raises the prospect that maybe eventually, someday, you could develop a drug or another therapy like electrical stimulation that could actually target it. Hmm. Here's Kay Tai.
Every time that you hear about a new drug, there's always a super long list of all the side effects, and that's because the drugs are not specific. I mean, our neural circuits are really, really complicated, and our brains are not soup. So I think that looking to the future, we're going to see a lot more circuit-based treatment.
Well, speaking of circuit-based treatment, we hear about pleasure centers in our brains, often when it comes to drug addiction. And even today, we're hearing about this recent surge in heroin overdoses in Massachusetts. So could this kind of brain circuit discovery, this circuit-based treatment, be applied to treating drug addiction as well?
Well, Anthony, you're right. There's a lot of research going on looking at how reward circuitry in the brain could be involved with drug addiction, how these reward circuits get hijacked. But there are differences here, too. Here's Kay Tai of MIT.
I do think that there are commonalities. We haven't tested this exactly, but I would not be surprised if there are similar circuits involved in food addiction and drug addiction. But the big difference, of course, is that with food addiction, you don't want to perturb the desire to eat. That is very important. If you are hungry, the desire to eat is critical for survival.
Although, of course, isn't it ironic that this desire to eat, with an obesity epidemic that seems to keep continuing, may actually get in the way of our survival as our country becomes more and more overweight?
Well, that's Carrie Goldberg. She's co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. She was talking about a new study from MIT that discovers a brain circuit that appears to control sugar addiction and compulsive overeating in mice. Carrie, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Anthony.
And listeners, you can find a link to the Common Health post by Carrie's co-host, Rachel Zimmerman, at RadioBoston.org. And listeners, before we go today, and as we move towards Super Bowl Sunday, we want to hear from you about this New England-Seattle smackdown. Earlier this week, you might have heard this, we placed a friendly wager, a case of craft beer, on the outcome of the game with our friends at KUOW in Seattle. That provoked their listeners to post on Facebook a whole lot of reasons why Seattle is a better city than Boston. Really? Now, come on. We can't let that go unchallenged. So even if you're fond of the Pacific Northwest, and who isn't, let's hear from you, from your inner Bostonian, and what this city has over that capital of cool lattes and grunge on the other coast. You can post on Facebook or Twitter, hashtag snow is better than rain at Radio Boston. So let's hear from you. Radio Boston's a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.